Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Sharkcast Radio, a weekly podcast on all things Cronulla Sharks, brought to you by the legends at Dyson Logistics, coming at you live and loud from the Royal Motor Yacht Club Port Hacking, and wouldn't be possible without the support of Jason Hawes at Cripps and Cripps Real Estate. I am one half of the podcast, Talakai and Sharks fanatic Newman, and I'm joined as I am, well, most weeks I'm joined by you, but it's been a couple of weeks coming, life's got in the way. Sydney singer-songwriter, Fox Sports statsman, and all-around Sharks fanatic, Sam Shinazzy. How are you, mate?
Hey, Newman. Thanks for covering me for a week or so there. I think we went without one last week, but we've recorded 4,000 episodes, so people would be cool with that. I'm doing okay. It's been a tough couple of weeks. Thanks for everyone who's been in touch. Appreciate it. I've been loving the Sharkies' wins, watching the Sharks real close, and I'm here to talk about the Sharks.
And the official records will read that the Sharks, the baby Sharks, the baby shark, rolled an utterly pathetic, well, they weren't pathetic, but they're up for the fight, Brisbane Broncos, 36-26, and we go up on the NRL post-COVID ladder into sixth position. Hallelujah, Sam Shinazzy. One of the great victories of the last couple of years. How did you feel?
I felt proud. I kind of put it as, and I just grabbed a number, one of the top 50 Sharks victories since 1967, would
top
you say?
Top 50?
Yeah, why not?
That's a strange number.
Well, it's not top 10, but it's really good.
How many games have they won total? That's putting you on the spot.
But it was really, really great. I was really proud of them. The first half, it was so exciting to watch them, the kids, gel with the older guys. The second half, it fell away a little bit. We came back and, yeah, I was utterly proud. We got defensive issues. We're not going to, you know, hide behind that. But just to win and win in that fashion, exciting tries, was good.
I would say it's probably in the top five wins. Probably the top three wins post club game, wins post premiership.
Yeah.
So there was a couple where we knocked over, there was one where we knocked over Storm with a baby team at home, and this one's right up there. Now, before we get into it, you missed a week. I did a week. You missed 2 weeks. I missed, and I did a solo podcast, which anyone would tell that isn't my favorite thing. How's Chester?
He's good. Thank you. He's recovered from what he went through, and,
I saw him at the park today. He was on fire.
He's going all right. So it's been tough on everyone for the last few weeks. He's been wearing his Sharks merchandise out. He's happy. He's a happy little Sharky. You did a great job. You were talking it down. You're online talking it down, which really annoyed me.
I know. You sent me a lot of messages saying, don't talk your solo pod down. People enjoy it. And I'm like, man, come on.
It's bad for business when the guy's doing it going, don't listen to this. It's not good.
But it
went through the roof. So it was really great. Thank you.
I find them hard going when it's just me ranting and raving.
No but one said it was going to be easy.
You're the glue, man. You're the glue that holds this together. You're the stats guy. You know, you're the fence sitter.
You're right. I feel like that might be the only negative thing said about me in this episode, but we'll see. See
all
what
right,
brings.
So anyway, back to the game. Yeah, I'm saying top three victories since the premiership and up there with one of the better club victories, you know, up there.
Yeah, the only thing that diminishes it is how bad the Broncos are going, and we really should have won anyway. But
they were up for it.
Nine Newtown Jets playing.
100%. And the Broncos were up for it. And I watched the Nine feed, which was annoying. But, you know, they were riding the Broncos home hard. Yeah. And one of the greatest moments for mine was when Seibold felt that they had the game won, with his big fat head down on the sideline when they're up by 10 with 10 minutes to go. And then to just see the colour drain out of his face. I
feel for the guy.
I don't feel for them at all because
I am
a child of the 90s.
I feel for him.
Right? And I know there's hatred towards the Dragons and I know there's this traditional hatred towards the Storm. Manly. And we've got this great rivalry with the Storm. But I still hark back to the days of the 90s when Brisbane won everything. They were essentially a state of origin team.
Yeah.
They controlled the league. I've hated them ever since. And I've only ever been to Brisbane once to watch the Sharks play and they got pumped. I am taking so much delight in the fact that they're doing so badly and that we could stick the knife into them like this.
It was brutal.
Like, it was better than thrashing them because we gave them a sniff and then took it away from them. How good?
I thought the game was over. I did. And I wasn't like crushed by that. I thought it was a game they should have won.
Yeah.
But to see him come back was brilliant. And the way they did it with that try with Ronaldo putting in a little kick was just beautiful.
Wow. Did you have movement when you saw that try, Samuel?
I was standing up. Yeah, there was movement. And Ueli at the end just like barging over was beautiful as well.
Well, by that point, my kids were asleep and my wife was in bed. Ueli went over and I'm like, yes, come on. And she's like, was that necessary? I'm like, yes, it was.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough watching with little ones asleep, that's for sure. It was actually an entertaining game. There was hardly any stoppages, hardly any penalties, hardly any set restarts.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it as a spectacle as well, and the lineup was fascinating.
Yeah, I know. And the game ebbed and flowed. We played well for really big periods of the game and attacked like crazy, but our defense at times was diabolical. And we were on our heels. They missed 49 tackles.
I think it came down a bit then. You mean we missed probably 36 or so, which is still too much. But we're missing the most in the NRL still.
Yeah, they missed a lot of tackles. There was times there when it just seemed like we couldn't stick first contact at all.
We conceded 9 line breaks. Made 7, but conceded 9 against the Bronx.
Yeah.
It's a problem, and they're going to have to address it as soon as this week, which we'll get into in the last segment. But it's okay playing that way against, you know, probably 3/4 of the competition, but the other quarter, the important quarter, you can't do that.
Yeah, it's a funny comp. And the last time we sat here together, we sat and said, you know, we've rolled, was it the, who did we beat? The Titans.
The Titans, yeah.
And we said, we're not going to get too carried away. And look, since then, we've beaten St. George and the Broncos. Now, it was a great victory against the Broncos, considering of who we had out.
Mm.
But still, like, they're not a quality opposition. They're really battling. No. So, no, you know, we're not going to say we're going to win the comp, but things are certainly trending up from the Penrith game. You know, we've beaten the teams we should have beaten.
They're going pretty good. Yeah. They're going, like, they've got the second best attack in the NRL. It's one of those years where, for the Sharks, where they're going to have to win games by throwing the ball around.
Yeah.
And that is pretty rare for us.
It's a different style.
I actually don't mind it. It means that we're probably not a genuine premiership threat at this point.
No, I don't think anyone would. We're probably entering smoky status.
Yeah,
not even.
We get a team on the day, and if that team's off and we get a refereeing decision and we click, then maybe we're a chance. Mm-hmm. So we're not a premiership threat, but it's entertaining as a fan. Like, the tries they're scoring are remarkable.
I know. And speaking of entertaining as a fan, let's talk about it. There was Dally Messenger.
Mm-hmm.
There was Wally Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
Arthur Beetson.
Clive Churchill. Andrew Johns.
Chang'e Langlands.
Valentine Holmes.
See ya. Talakai.
Talakai, eh?
One of the greats. The GOAT. I'm now going to christen him. What a player.
Stay off his Insta, all right?
What a player. It's taking everything in my power to stay away from his Instagram.
He's going really, really great.
Like, he's clearly not a center. Let's be stacked.
Look, he... That was his worst defensive effort in that position, but it was still passable.
He was stuck out there to do a job, but just the energy which he runs with, and you know, he's on no money.
Yeah, that,
you know, I'm a money ball guy.
The key to those guys, to Hunt, to Talakai, to Toby, is they're all desperate. They're playing for lively. I mean, sorry, let me take that back. Two of them just signed some okay longer term deals, and one will sign, I would imagine, a 2 or 3 year deal for us.
Mm-hmm.
So they were playing for their livelihood.
Yeah.
And you can see it in the way they play. Like, they're just, every moment means something to them.
Well, I'm not supposed to relay these conversations I have with someone, but someone I know down in the club just said he had the best preseason. Like, he was just so committed, you know, trained the house down, really keen to learn, and just wanted to make an impact on the team. And I watched him in Newtown last year, and I was excited. I mentioned a couple of times, but wow. I have a new favorite. Goodbye, Luke Lewis. Hello, see you, Talakai.
Well, Royce Hunt was on a training contract.
Oh, and how good's he been, right?
So,
he's not at the Talakai level, but he's
in my eyes, he is.
He's great,
but,
right?
So they both worked their butts off to get there. That's what's so wonderful about it.
And they're earning like per year, what some close to what some of our name players are earning per game. You know, it's just unbelievable. Maybe that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but yeah, it's just so refreshing.
It's not so much unbelievable. It's refreshing, and it's what we want to see as fans.
Yeah.
We want to see guys rip in. We
I remember
about
you talking about Royce Hunt at the start of the season. I'm just like, who is this guy? Like, I've never even heard the name. But like, Sam's gone down a stats rabbit hole with his.
Who was the guy that I wrapped? Didn't he? Yeah, who was the guy I wrapped last year and didn't get close?
Oh.
I think he was let go from the club. Was he the guy that was in the Black Lives Matter thing in Brisbane, maybe?
I think it was that guy. Anyway. There was a half you, were that you wrapped that I can never remember
a
his
winger.
Name.
It was a winger.
Oh, was it? There was a half that someone you wrapped as well. Queensland Cup player.
Anyway, I'm good now. Royce Hunt, I'm good.
Yeah, but and you know that some of the tries that the team scored, it was a yin and a yang. Like, you're certainly not going to say it's the complete performance, but they got out there and they won, and that's what we wanted.
It gave us hope, Newman. It gave us hope. Teague Wilton looked
big fan.
Looked
right
here. Really, really great. He just looked his whole life to get to that moment. And he's what, two games now, and he looked great.
I just love how he does things, and I'm certain that they're coached not to do this, but like, he comes on the field, he gets the marker, and he sprints from marker to try and smash somebody.
Yeah, he's
I
a
love
big boy.
That.
Big boy.
You know, and
he's been waiting a long time. He's been waiting that long.
He puts a lot of kick pressure on. He's just dynamite.
Connor Tracy, a guy who's been waiting a long time to be a regular first grader. I don't even know if he is at this point, but
now I was confused that they took Brayley off because I thought he was playing pretty well.
He was lights out, Brayley.
Yeah, he was playing pretty well. And then Connor Tracy came on and we had a bit of a whoopsie 5 minute there. I mean, he won the game, but I'm not sold on him as a nine.
As a nine.
Because originally his name, like the team, I interrupted your point. He was originally named as seven, but then Braden Kenneth Trindle came out and played seven. Mm. What do we think of Braden Kenneth?
Fantastic debut. I love the way he defends.
Yeah, he was just like so much energy.
He had that what's the pass you call it, Newman?
Rainbow pass.
The rainbow pass, which was no try, but nothing to do with him. Set it up beautifully.
Mulatalo should have scored there, let's be honest. He should have stepped inside and scored.
And, yeah.
Was that Mulatalo
or
Sione?
No, it was Ronaldo.
Yep.
I was going to say something about Katoni, but I'm going to leave it because kids are listening. Trindle was really great. He, again, a guy who didn't look out of place. I was a little bit worried before the match because it's big time.
Big time, yeah.
But he was great. I wouldn't hesitate throwing him in again.
And what did you think of the Bomber coaching with Trindle? You know, he was just sort of there. He didn't do a lot of kicking. He kicked later in the piece. He deferred mainly to Johnson.
I didn't mind it. I thought Johnson played really great. And when Trindle was needed, he didn't let us down. He had a couple of really good booming kicks. And again, a guy who just... He's a local junior, right?
Yeah,
or he's been
in
our system for a while.
No, he's a Sunshine Coast junior, technically, but he's been in our system for a while.
Right. You can just tell these guys are just hungry to play.
They just seem like young kids that are just blistering to have a go.
Yeah.
Talking about some of the more established stages, very divisive performance from Aaron Woods. The detractors seem to be off it. I didn't like it a lot, but the stats guys were like, no, he was good.
Mm.
Where did you sit in that camp?
As you would say, sitting on the fence. He needs to, in my opinion, only just improve that middle D a bit. The other thing I was going to say is he played big minutes.
Yeah.
And that confused me.
Yeah, there was a time where I was screaming at the TV.
I think he played the whole first half.
Yeah, I'm like, get him off, get him off. Then when he dropped the ball and the play of the ball.
Yeah.
There was a couple of efforts where he just couldn't plug in the middle.
In the past month, he's improved and the effort is there. And I thought in his 200th game, he was solid. But yeah, I've still got a question mark about a few things with Woodsy. Especially, as you would say, with the price that we're paying.
Yeah, I think that's about as good as you're going to get from him, though, really. I think that's where he is as a player, the ceiling that you're going to get.
Mm. Let's talk about it. Jackson Ferris on debut, another guy I've been waiting for a long time to
I watched a lot of Newtown last year, so I feel like I can speak with authority. And I was not buying the Jackson Ferris hype. I've seen him play a lot, and, you know, he could turn it on at times, but I was just like, I felt like he was a reserve grader.
Yeah.
But he just looked at home, hitting those holes, running with... I didn't realise he was that quick. He was strong. Beautiful try on debut. Just silky through that hole and great movement. Light. Yeah.
From
I was impressed.
What I can tell from Jackson is he's a big moment, big time player. So I would... Maybe in the Reggies, he's just not...
Just not doing it for him.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think he's more of a... Just one of those young kids that, you know, the lights go on, front of the lights, let's go.
Yeah, that's a fair call.
Like, his D was a bit shaky, but it's always been shaky.
Look, I never ever, unless they're a defensive specialist, if someone's going to debut in the centres,
yeah.
What side was he playing on? Was he playing on Sione? He was playing on Sione's side, right?
Yeah.
And you got a partner, Sione Katoa. Like, I'm gonna give him some levity.
The try in the second half that the Broncos scored on the left edge, it was the one that went all the way across from the right to the left. And Jackson actually made the right call, in my opinion, and Sione was like a kilometre behind him.
Yeah.
And so Jackson did the
they
big
didn't
miss.
Have the
and
numbers there. I'm going to give, you know, if he's defending poorly 15 games in and if he's got a combination with his winger and his inside man, then it's a different story. But on debut...
That try was a cracker.
It was a cracker.
And the passion he showed, it means something. And that's all those fans that we've been wanting for years. It's just, it has to mean something to them. And
look, 6 weeks ago, you and I are sitting there going, we're not making the finals.
Well, we didn't think we could win two in a row. Now we're 6 from 7, I think.
Yeah, I know. And I think Bomber's doing a great job, you know, and we've got limited cattle. I mean, and I posted on a Twitter, right? The team that ran out...
Mm-hmm.
You know, who were the centres? Talakai, who's a makeshift centre.
Jackson Ferris.
And Jackson Ferris. Ondebu, who was about 10th in line. Round one, you could have made a claim that our centre pairing should have been Bronson Sherry and Josh Morris.
Yep. Or Ramian, either way.
Yeah, I know. Right?
Will Kennedy at fullback.
Yeah, so...
Trindle at halfback.
The team that went out there was like a real bits and pieces spare parts team. And if they can do it, then you have hope that the big names, when they come back, can make an impact.
Toby Rudolph, almost 200 metres off the bench.
How good, right?
Ridiculous. He's only going to get better, so I'm happy that we're going to re-sign him. Who else did I want to point out here, young Adam? Jack Williams had a pretty good game, I thought. No errors.
Better.
And I just thought he was doing that thing that he's supposed to do. He wasn't beast-like, but he was getting closer to that and playing the Gallon-type role.
I figured out what I don't like about... Williams. Yeah. And it's not so much Williams, right? The errors irritate me. They irritate everyone. And I've got to give the Rugby League Digest podcast credit, because when I heard this, I'm like, that's what I've been thinking about. The NRL Economist was on there, and he's divisive opinion, right? Yeah. But he has crunched the numbers, and the teams that are doing well have adjusted their 13.
Yep.
In the era of the set restart, they've got more Gavin Miller-style 13, who plays eyes-up football.
Yep.
And he's more an attacking, and basically he's relegated the Paul Gallen type 13, the third prop, to the past. And that's what Jack Williams is.
Yeah, there's not a great offload in him at the moment or anything.
No. And so. You look at, you know, Tommy, the older Trebojevic.
Jakey, yep.
Yep. The guy at the Roosters. Victor Radley. Sorry.
Victor Radley.
They're the new prototype for the new game, and we just don't have that guy. So that's probably where my...
We've got that guy playing on the left, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Who I want to talk about.
Yeah.
He's back.
Yeah.
Two great games in a row, Wade Graham.
Now I see talk about putting him in the middle could work.
Yeah, as long as he's fit and ready to go.
And let's talk about that play.
Well, there were two.
They wouldn't shut up about it on Channel 9, the getting the ball off the dropout.
Well, they shouldn't.
That won the game. I'm like, well, what about Ueli's try? Let's try it. They won the game too.
No, but they're right. They're right.
Oh, it was a massive play.
There was one earlier. Was it in the first half, a one-on-one steal?
Yes, that was a momentum.
And that led to the Ferris try, maybe?
Yeah.
Am I making that up?
You're probably more aware of this. In the era of the set restart, like, shifting momentum is so hard now. Like, one team gets the ascendancy and they just roll up the field and can score tries. So those sorts of plays that change the momentum, they're enormous.
Did you know, Adam, and I've said it before, so you should know, the Sharks have scored the most tries from sets starting with restart infringements.
You did tell me that, and I'd forgotten, so yeah. Thanks for reminding me, Samuel. Yeah,
true fact. Wade Graham was fantastic. That's how we need him to be.
Real captain's knock, wasn't it?
Yeah, and you look at his stats, they're not outstanding, but we don't care because it's the little things he's doing.
Mm.
So
you know, he put that kick into the in goal there too as well.
Yeah. Sean Johnson leads the forced dropout stat, which is great. Yeah. Obviously, he still leads the try assist as well. We haven't even talked about Sean, but he's...
Well, I want to talk about him because I feel like everyone wrapped him and I thought his game was good.
Mm.
But there was a period there towards the end of the game when you could tell he was feeling the pressure to close the game out. And he got lost a couple of times. And, you know, we're not asking for perfection, but I'm kind of like, come on, Sean, we want better.
So tell me how you thought he went without Chad.
I felt there was times when we were attacking where he looked lost. He looked... But I'm not going to blame
because
that
Chad
on.
Would steer the ship.
Chad would steer them to a place on the field and call a play. But in saying that, you know, Connor Tracy's coming on at 9. You know, he's got a rookie 6.
Yeah.
We don't who hasn't been playing.
Yeah.
Trindle hasn't been playing. Yeah. He's got 2 essentially rookie centres. So I'm
young
not going to hang him.
Young fullback, yeah.
And I'm certainly not going to say, oh, you know, he's lost without Chad. But
no.
I actually think in that game, we would have benefited having Chad out there.
Okay.
All right. So what else did you want to talk about? Anything else out of the game?
I think we've covered it pretty well. Yeah, I'm just looking forward to getting a big scalp. I really am. Mm. Because until we do that, it is all just a bit of fun and
the jury's
and roll, you know. Yeah, so...
We've got to make a statement.
Yeah, but the key thing was winning that game, no matter whether it was 1 point, 10 points as it was, or 50 points. Like, you just had to win that game, and they did.
Yeah, and...
Lose that game, and it's just...
I wouldn't have cared. I was like you. When they went down by 10, I'm like, ah, well...
Sorry, let me rephrase that. Beating Brisbane, no matter what, like 9 rookies or not. On the
They're
calendar,
bad.
You had to win that.
They're bad.
Yeah.
They've forgotten how to win, and they proved that.
Ugh.
They absolutely proved that.
King Darius was celebrating hard, man.
Oh, it was... I don't know. Am I wrong here? God, I was irritated the way they were celebrating their tries.
Oh, I didn't take it personally.
I was just like, calm it down, guys.
If
like,
you were going that bad, the pressure they, you know, one town team, like they've been copping it.
I know, but like, you know, you score it against a bunch of kids here, calm it down.
I didn't think it was like, oh, in your face. I thought it was more just within themselves. So I didn't have a problem with it. I know what
they
you're saying.
They were acting like they won the comp, mate.
We gave it back to them. Yeah. Ronaldo was like... In everyone's face. Shawnee was about to do a haka, so.
Well, you could tell Sean was feeling the pressure because when they won, his reaction was like, come on.
Yeah, and they'd already won 5 minutes before, and then the siren went, you know what I mean? So the game was done. But that's what we want to see. It's great.
All right, so we're starting to enjoy.
I've been enjoying it for a while, yeah. Yeah, just the way they play. I love seeing the young guys come in and... That is something that no one can criticize John Morris about. You can pick whatever you want about him. But the way he brings in these young guys. Mm. You look at Teague Wilton.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's a special kid, but they've still got him ready.
Sean. Shane Flanagan would not have debuted Teague Wilton.
No, Shane... And look, Shane won us a comp with a bunch of 85-year-old players.
Yep.
And that's what worked. And we thank the Lord and everyone else for that and forevermore. I guess that's what I was hinting at, though. John just brings in the kids. He doesn't have that stigma about, oh, they're too young, or I need a guy who's played 100 games. Mm. He just brings them in.
Gives them a go.
And so far, there hasn't been too many errors or disasters.
Well, we're framing ourselves for a tilt. The defense has got to improve. Nobody's pretending that the defense is great. I got to fix that. First contact was doing my head in, you know, a couple of times.
How do you fix it?
I don't know. And
it's an individual thing, right?
Britton Nakora, who he's traditionally a great defender, he's like missing on every first shot. Wade Graham, too.
Yeah.
He misses on the first shot a lot.
It's an individual thing, though, right?
Yeah, it's a team thing, though. And I mean, I don't know this. Is there a feeling creeping into the squad that is like, meh, we can score more than them?
I wouldn't have thought that was why they're missing tackles. I think that thought might be in some of their minds, because it's in some of the fans' minds.
Mm.
But I don't think that's why they're missing tackles.
Well, let's cut to a break. And when we come back on the other side, we're going to have the news. This is Shark Cast Radio.
Sharkcast Radio would not be possible without the generous support of Dyson Logistics.
Dyson Logistics provides tailored logistical solutions to meet individual client needs and is set apart by its personalized service.
Dyson has a strong worldwide agent network, enabling highly competitive rates. Find them online at www.dysonlogistics.com or call them 8399 1844.
Dyson Logistics, service delivered.
Eddinghausen and Green laying it on. Peaches into the space. They're not going to get him. The young fullback scores for the Sharks.
Well, I'll tell you, it is one of the best scrum moves you've ever seen.
Welcome back to the show, and now it's come to that time where we see what news has washed in across Botany Bay towards the mangrovey shores of PointsBet Stadium. It's a sad sight down there at PointsBet Stadium. No work happening. It's very depressing to drive past, actually. Oaky Jubilee Stadium, Campbelltown, NIB Perth Stadium, the Adelaide Oval, wherever, White Hart Lane, all the news is washing in. First bit of news before you get there, Samuel, is we've got to send a big shout out to our mate Ash. Ash from Engadine, he's a big supporter of the show, has been since day one. Mm. Very, very sad news. His father passed away through the week. Ash, Sam and I send you a big condolences and positive vibes to you, mate. It's a terrible time you're going through, and we are with you, buddy.
Yeah, we sure are. We both individually sent him our thoughts, and we know a bunch of people on here know Ash either personally or through the show, so
he's a bit of a character around the club, isn't he? He worked at the club, yeah.
I'll never forget. I mention it sometimes when you and I rolled out of the club that great morning, and
there he was down there.
He was down there, still rocking, ready to go, ready for breakfast. I said, Ash, I'm gonna have to wait for breakfast. I'll come back later in the day. But yeah, we send out our thoughts, Ash. If you need anything, drop us a line. But it was good to see the Sharkies.
Get a win for you.
Get a win for you and the family. I hope the family's doing okay.
Okay, more trivial matters for footy.
Well, actually, we're going to stay on a sad note.
Oh, God.
Sorry to do that. But Kevin Hogan, who was a Sharks player, coach, and...
bit of the furniture down there at the club. He
admin
was.
Person,
yep.
To say the least. He sadly passed away earlier in the week. Kevin Hogan captained the Sharks in 1971. He played for us for 5 years. Played with all the greats like Bishop, Pierce, Turner, Madison, Watson... He was an Engadine Dragons coach, Newman, A grade.
Yep.
And then when Jack Gibson came to Cronulla in 1985, didn't do much for us, unfortunately, Jack. But he got Kevin involved with the club, and Kevin coached the under-23s, and he brought through guys like Sparkles McGaw and our mate Doco, Barry Russell, Michael Porter, and he was actually the uncle of Alan Wilson, my childhood favourite player.
There you go. You'll see Al down at Mr. Paisley's.
Al, yeah, was it. He then joined the board of directors in 1989, and, you know, all the things they've been through since then. He was a part of all that. So, a very much an important figure in the Sharks' history, and we send our condolences to his family and friends.
Yeah, so, well, again, more sad news. He was a stalwart around the club, part of the furniture, did a lot for the Sharks.
You met him once, I believe.
I did, yep. Robbie Willis introduced me to him, a lovely fella. All right, so we've got some news, some milestone news, Samuel.
We do, a bit brighter news.
Yeah, so you just informed me that Wade Graham is about to play 200 for the Sharks.
Yep.
And Dugs is going to wrap up
200 NRL games.
NRL games.
Yeah, so Dugan debuted for Canberra in 2009. Very much next big thing stature because of his NYC Toyota Cup career, which was fantastic to watch. And went to the Drags, came to the Sharks in 2018. His 46th match coming up, should he play, which we think he will this week. What are your thoughts on Dugs' history with us so far?
Yeah, I mean, his trouble with injury has been well documented. 200 games in 11 seasons now. Great player. It was a shame he couldn't mark. He was meant to play his 200th against his former club, the Dragons, and that didn't happen. Congratulations. 200 games is quite common these days, but it's certainly no easy feat.
No.
And he's done it playing hard, playing tough the whole way through. There's no doubt about it.
For some reason, Penrith let Wade Graham go, and he came to Cronulla. as a young little, I'm not going to say chubby Bunch little
Bob
thing.
Square pants look alike.
He had a bit of meat on him.
Bucky teeth.
And now he's our captain, and he's done it all, and we love him. 200 games for Cronulla. So he's played a lot more than that for, played a bit more for Penrith as well. So he's got a, he's going to play a number of games before he retires, that's for sure.
And he'll play more for Origin and more for Australia. Storied player. We're lucky to have him, and a big salute, Shark Car salute to Wado. What else we got news-wise, Samuel?
That's kind of it, I think. Newman, was there anything else? Anything else you want to discuss?
This was discussed in the letters, but I'll bring it up in the news. While you're away, the chairman, Steve Mace, released a missive to the members in the spirit of transparency. Did you read this document?
I read everything, baby.
And Michael emailed us about it and sort of said, what the hell was it about? Now, I got into a bit of a Twitter debate with a few people where they're saying, don't you want transparency from the club? And absolutely, I think it's great that the chairman would share what's happening down at the club, but it was a very, very long-winded essay that didn't say a whole lot other than a lot of managerial speak. What was your take on it?
Yeah, there were a lot of words. I liked where he was going, though. He was saying they're going to be a lot more transparent. And should that happen, should it, I think it's great for the club and for the fans. I don't know if I'm going to criticise him for it, though.
Trim it down. Stick to the points. Yeah.
I haven't met Steve, I don't believe, but looks like a bit of a character.
Yeah, he's very well known around the Shire. Good mates with Gal.
Yeah. He seems to love the club a lot.
Loves the club a lot. Yeah. Loves the club a lot. I had a great relationship with Dino when Dino was the chairman, and I hope to continue it in the future. But, we're scraping the bottom of the barrel for news here. What, you hold your finger up?
I am holding my finger up. They also released, I don't know if it was just for the members or just in general, a newsletter type thing where a key figure from each department had like two or three paragraphs.
I don't know what's going on. Anyway, go on.
It might be in a junk or something, or spam, who knows. Get in touch with Benny Ross.
My mate Benny Ross.
BRRoss at sharks.com.au.
BRRoss. Hardest working man at the club. Just asking him to tell you.
Now that was you. That wasn't me. I always get in trouble for stuff that we say about Ben. That was you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he does. He works hard. There's no doubt about it.
He does work hard. Why are you laughing? He responds to all my complaints.
Yeah. He's a good dude, Ben.
He's a great dude.
Actually, I love him. He's a great bloke.
He's an inspiring fellow. Now, the club released a newsletter, and so you had people, I think, like Steve Mace, and then you had your mate Dino, then John Morris said something, and then the fella at the new Leith Club said something, and I think even Ben said something. So they're trying to be more transparent, and
I
applaud them for that.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, and it wasn't just mumbo jumbo. There was some good stuff in there. So,
well, let's go. No news is good news. So let's cut to a break, and we'll come back on the other side. We'll have the letters. This is Shark Cast Radio. Buying or selling a property is one of the most stressful undertakings that you can do in your entire life. Luckily, Sharkcast Radio is supported by one of the best and most honest real estate agents in the Sutherland Shire market and is an expert in the North Caringbah region. I sold my property with Jason Hawes from Cripps & Cripps Real Estate and could not have been happier with the outcome. Call Jason on 0410-417-450. That's Jason from Cripps & Cripps Real Estate, 0410-417-450.
Healy! It's Healy! And scores! On his departure day, Mitch Healy gets a try. The crowd have gone absolutely bereft.
Welcome back to the show, and now it's come to that time where we see what the little sharky who rips around the neighbourhood on a high-vis motorbike has jammed into the slot, the letters section. You can get us one Eddinghausen Lane, Woolaware, or on all of the socials, sharkcastpod@gmail.com, or Twitter, Facebook, Instagram with the handle @sharkcastpod. Now, Sam normally has a shark tooth-shaped letter opener in his hand, but straight out of the gate, we're going straight to controversy, Sam.
Really?
Straight to controversy.
What's going on?
We got a letter that I've been waiting for 2 weeks to ask you this.
Me?
You. It's directed completely at you, not nothing to do with me.
Oh, boy.
Normally the one I cop it. You can't handle it being unpopular. So, anyway, Drew says, Sam, I dig the podcast but dislike the prolonged political discussions.
Oh, me too.
His next point is, you say it's all bullshit in inverted commas, but then make clear you are of the left. However, you work for Fox Murdoch and bank their checks.
But we're gonna have to have a full stop here because, first of all, I don't know if I said I'm of the left. I'm just not on the right. Okay. So let's deal with some facts here.
And let him finish. He softens it. He softens the blow.
Read the last bit. It went over my head about the Fox Sports thing.
I suppose this sums up politics in a nutshell. Still a great pod. Thanks for your work. Drew, P.S. I appreciate the irony of raising this issue when the pod means discussing politics again.
Thanks, Drew. Now, read it out again, the Fox bit, because I didn't.
Okay, you say politics is all BS, but then make clear you are of the left. Yep. However, you work for Fox, Murdoch, and bank their paychecks.
Right. I definitely bank their paychecks. That's a necessity in my life. And I'll be forever thankful to him and them and all of those people. I know where you're getting at, Drew. Obviously, it's a tough one for me to answer, but I'll do my best. I personally work at Fox Sports. I am proud to work there. I know that in the last sort of year or so, there's been a shift in their style on the website and that kind of thing, which is absolutely zero to do with what I do. I crunch numbers. Yeah, I also don't think that if you work at Fox Sports, it means that you're aligned to the right, if that's what he's sort of getting at.
Well, I mean, they do have a political bias in politics. Like, if you were to work for Fox News, for example, I mean, they skew to the right massively, but you work in sport.
Yeah.
And I guess I was reflecting on this, and I'm like, Sam's passionate about rugby league. He wants to, and I put the careers coach hat on, and I'm like, Sam's passionate about rugby league. He wants a job in rugby league. You know, where else are you going to get one? You either get one at a club or you get one in the media. Now, in the media, you've got Fox or Nine. I mean, where you can get a job is fairly limited. And I'm quite glad that someone with, quote unquote, like a bleeding heart, you care very deeply about people and about social issues, would go and work at Fox.
Now, there are a lot of people there that, I would say the majority of people at Fox Sports, that's for sure, pretty normal people. And so, I will say this, and you know, it's not often I open the old book for you guys. My aspirations when, not so much leaving school, but a bit after that, was to do one of three things. It was either be a rock and roll star, which I've given somewhat of a shot at, and I'm still having fun doing that, or work for the Cronulla Sharks, or work at Fox Sports.
And so you've done all three of those things.
No, I'm not. No, this isn't about me being alleged. This is
you're
me.
Alleged,
this
mate.
Is me saying. No, this is me saying. Working at Fox was kind of a dream.
Yeah,
and like all dreams, it's not always as romantic as what you think it's going to be.
No,
I'm cool with it, Drew. I do appreciate what you're saying, and I appreciate you bringing it up. It's cool. It's very very brave of you.
But if I mean, is he suggesting that you should say, "No, I've got some social tendencies, I shouldn't work for them"? Like, would that...
I'm not sure.
That protest is going to do nothing other than harm you.
I had a reasonably good friend who's still a friend of mine, and it was right around... Oh gosh, I don't know what the controversy was. It was a political... Anyway, it was something to do with Murdoch and Rupert Murdoch, and a friend wrote on his Facebook, "If you work for any kind of aligned Murdoch thing, then I don't want to be your friend." And I sent him a DM, and I was like, "Dude, shut up." Like, I understand your passion and everything, but like, you're saying you don't want to be my friend? He was like, no. I'm like, well, just shut up.
Yeah.
So I appreciate generalizations, but anyway, this is about the Sharks.
All right. I think it was a fair question, and I think it was well answered.
Thanks, Drew.
And it's not, like, life's complex, you know. We all have to make compromises, and we all have to make, if you didn't take that job, it would be the definition of cutting off your nose to spite your face. Them not employing, you having a protest against going to work there would make no difference to Fox whatsoever. All it does is hurt you.
Here's something that happened in the last year. Israel Flower went nuts, I think maybe the first time.
Yeah.
When we walk into the building, we have huge, artwork paintings of the people that are on the Fox payroll, superstars.
Do you have a...
I don't. You have your Kronks, you have, of all sports, you know,
yeah, yeah.
all sports around the world that we cover, and they're ambassadors for us. And Izzy was up there for a long time, and I was like, I think we need to do something about that.
Mm.
And no one did anything about it for a while. And then he went nuts a second time.
They took it down.
The next morning, he was gone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, anyway, I hope I don't get in trouble for all this stuff. I want to have a job, you know.
How would you not, like...
Anyway.
You've answered that, honestly. Let's move on, because...
People are turning away in droves.
I don't think so. I actually think that was quite a nice discussion. Let's talk about footy.
Yeah,
now.
But you love the controversy and the edge.
People love honesty, and you were very honest there, which was a nice touch. Let's move on to
Thank you, Drew, for the question. Jordan has written to us. He says, "G'day, lads. Thanks for reading out my emails each week. It means so much to me and to all of us that you're not only taking the time to read our thoughts, but it makes us feel like we're part of the show. So thank you, Jordan, for saying that. It's very beautiful of you to say that." Royce Hunt, Talakai, Rudolph, absolutely outstanding this season. Loving the impact they're having.
Yeah.
They really get us going forward.
Yeah.
Our attack is ridiculously good, and it's a shame we're conceding almost as many points when we're scoring.
Yeah. I'm just like yesing everything Jordan.
Jordan, yeah. So we agree with all that. On the subject of music, not sure if you guys have heard of them, but Them Crooked Vultures.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Made up of John Paul Jones, Dave Grohl, and Josh Homme.
They are a super group.
Pumping their album out a lot and loving it. So yeah, we've heard that stuff. I'm a huge Grohl fan. John Paul Jones, yeah.
I learned a factoid about 90s music today. Not a factoid, a factlet.
Mm.
Did you know factoid means a fact that is incorrect that's been repeated so many times?
What was the thing about the 90s?
I heard, what was it, You Ought to Know by Alanis Morissette on the radio. And the band that played that was like Dave Frusciante and John Frusciante and
Taylor Hawkins
and all these like 90s superstars. I didn't know
he was that. He was in her band especially. Like he toured as well. I don't think John did, but Taylor Hawkins, that's how he kind of got the gig for the Foo Fighters.
Yeah. Well, anyway, come here for more fun Alanis Morissette facts next week.
Speaking of the 90s, Adam Flanagan's been in touch. Says, "G'day, on the win against the Dragons, love beating them, listen to their fans blame the ref for the loss. It makes it all worthwhile." We agree.
We never got to talk about that.
"Looking at a stat that I doubt the Sharks have done in a while, coming second for points scored, approximately 26 points per week, the Roosters are first. The attack is starting to click."
Yeah.
"I can only put that down to blokes like Hunt and Talakai steamrolling down the guts."
Well, it's Hunt and Talakai steamrolling down the guts and having like players like Sean Johnson. And, you know, we didn't talk about it in the game review, but Ronaldo Mulitalo was fan-bloody-tastic.
Kick returns
amazing. Not only was that, like, he butchered one try, but one of the better Sharks tries ever. You know, he created that. But him under the, like, diffusing the short kickoffs and diffusing the high balls, he was fantastic.
Yeah, that first diffuser was pretty big.
Yeah.
The one after the try.
And there was a couple where they kicked in attack and he managed to, you know.
And Katoa as well.
Yeah,
and
Katoa
Will
was,
Kennedy. I think all three of them
did a good job.
And they were huge players, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's funny, we've seen Ronaldo drop some absolute sitters, but when it kind of counts, he's ready to go.
Well, they're all on fire with that on that regard, and you've got to do that to win.
Great letter here from Alex.
Okay, good.
This is really great. You're going to think I wrote this, but I didn't. "Adam and Sam, been listening since the early days and have been meaning to send an email for a long time."
Is this from sam@gmail.com or...?
"I want to thank you for the content. After a tough loss, I feel some solace knowing I'll get to debrief by listening to like-minded individuals. Similarly, I get to celebrate a win with you too." Isn't that just the sweetest?
That's very, very nice. Thank you.
Gets better. "Right now, we're a 9th to 12th range team." So you wrote this the week before last, still.
Well, we're in 6th now, Alex.
No, let's hear him out. "The poor opposition we've faced has made us look far better than we actually are. The frustrating thing is we could be top four. Lack of concentration at crucial times. Poor defense has and will continue to let us down. An interesting takeaway from the last few games is I'm upset that Ronaldo is coming off looking a little bit of a grub through other fans and media."
Yeah, he's got that reputation.
"I don't believe he is. I think he plays with huge amounts of passion and I love him." What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, a lot of people have brought that up. I love him. Like, I'm a big fan, and he's just... I remember his debut against the Broncos, incidentally. And I'm like, who is this guy? Yeah, you know, yeah. I sort of never again him. Yeah. He's been fantastic. Look, he's a character. And the Sharks need a grub. You know, we had Gallen for all those years, and he was a massive grub. We had Ennis.
There's a difference in the way Ronaldo does it. Ronaldo's got a bit of carry on in him.
Yeah, he does.
And that's what I think people are saying.
Back in the day, they would have called him a mugler.
A mugler. Mm. Last bit, which is just, I'm just going to say it. Sam, I'm also a massive Minnesota Vikings fan. Got on board in 09. 09 was when Brett Favre went nuts. Haven't looked back since. I suspect there are not many Sharks Vikings fans about. Alex, you're a legend. You're my favorite ever listener.
You just joined the Sam Shinazzi Sharks Vikings fan club, and now the membership has doubled to 2.
I'll have to look into that one, but yeah. You might be right. Thanks, Alex. Caleb, why don't you read out one from Caleb?
All right, Caleb says, wondering what you guys think about potentially keeping Will Kennedy at fullback when Moylan comes back. Moylan can play in the halves with Townsend out like he did versus the Cowboys earlier this year and like he did in 2018. Undoubtedly, playing in the halves will be easier on his hamstrings as well. How about them baby Sharks? All play their role as well tonight, which was great. Talakai is one hell of a find. Hope Ferris is okay. Well, if you've looked at the team, Caleb, looks like John Morris is thinking along the same lines as you.
What are your thoughts on it?
Look, I'm not a massive Kennedy fan, and I've made that clear, but he's doing a job. He's improving, and he's doing a job for us. And I think the strongest 17 at the moment is what you've suggested. Moylan 6, Johnson 7, Kennedy 1.
Okay. And we'll talk about the next segment, but Trindle has been named in the 1-21, so there's a chance that it may not go.
Well,
that
Moylan's
way.
Been named, you know, he's been named plenty of times and not played, so.
But not named in the 6, I guess. A bit different. Now, Adam, I've got a few more things from our friends on the internet.
All right, here we go.
Now, who is this? This is our friend Wade. Wade's an Instagram follower of ours, and this is after the Dragons win. He said, fellas, Chad Townsend released a podcast during the week, and we won.
Well, that wasn't recognised, was it? So we need to be fair.
People want to bag him when they're losing.
We need to be fair. We are nothing if not fair here at Sharkcast Pod, and he put a podcast out, and they won, so there you go.
Thanks, Wade, for that.
Do you listen to his podcast? What does he talk about?
I do. Chad's a smart young fellow. He's really into positivity and learning, and he's a positive little cat.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's interested in
the
business world.
How many podcasts do you listen to a week?
Oh, man. As in different shows or episodes? What do you?
How many podcast episodes would you listen to in a week?
Yeah, quite a lot. On a daily basis, probably 3 to 4.
3 to 4 a day?
At least, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, and Chatties is good. It's I've said that before, though. So I sent out a tweet with the new team named this week and today and got people's thoughts. Dennis says, I don't like Moylan in the halves. Graham will not get any early ball because he'll just skip around and if anything, run into Graham or give him the ball with no room to move.
That's a fair point. He does have that bit of that in him.
Rainey says, I thought Trindle went well. Not sure about Moylan in the halves. And absolutely, Trindle went well. Andrew said, I have so many thoughts. Number one, I love the creativity opportunities, but who's going to play the cool head? Center D will be much stronger with Dugs and Jesse back. Our bench is amongst the best in the comp, hard to argue. And Wade Graham is back. That's Andrew's thoughts. He also says, remember when we couldn't score points?
Yeah.
It was about the same time we stopped tries. Edges are pretty soft at the moment.
We did have that 2010, like we couldn't score, but we could defend, right?
Yeah.
There you go. It would be great to be able to score heaps of points and not leak, but...
How about we score a little bit less and defend a little bit better? That'll probably do the job.
The defense has got to improve, isn't it?
Yeah. Dean says, I think Morris is trying to stop Parramatta studying Trindle and targeting him. He suspects Tracy will drop out, Moylan to the bench and Trindle to half.
Well, we don't know how fit Moylan is, do we? I mean, he's been named to come back, but he's infuriated here with Matt Moylan. You just don't know. And it wouldn't.
They have said he's been training well and he's been close the last 2 weeks. They've just been holding off. So
We'll see, won't we? So, all right, that wraps us up.
No, it doesn't. Right? It Rich doesn't. Says, what does Rich say?
You're now hitting up, you know, the BuzzFeed.
No, these are our very much liked listeners.
Okay, good.
I'm not just looking for sharks and grabbing anything. Rich says, when Moylan and Sean are together, that's the best of our attacking players in the halves, and that could be deadly. He's not a fullback anymore.
There's a high.
He has to play six when he's fit.
Yeah, there's a high, you know, there's a lot of headroom for some awesome attack with Moylan and Johnson in the halves.
It seems like Moylan hasn't...
And I can't remember... Oh, sorry to interrupt.
There you go, yeah.
They have played there a couple of times last year, did they? And it was pretty good. Am I right? Am I wrong?
I don't have my info in front of me. I'm going to say they would have played together.
Yeah, okay.
But people seem to have already forgotten, some people, how good he was just a month ago. You know, when they see him named now.
Well,
like,
it was the whole shot, you know, people are so far quick to forget, aren't they? It's like, we can't win without Moylan. Moylan's like our talisman, then we win twice without him. Who's Moylan?
Like, he was
we need him
brilliant.
Honestly, in all seriousness, if we are going to put a dent in this competition, now that we're sitting in sixth and we can make a tilt, Matt Moylan's going to have to be a big part of that.
And
it's not going to happen without him.
I think the detractors are also kind of looking at Trindle last week going, well, shouldn't he get another run because he was really great? Which, there's an argument there, of course, as well.
So. Yeah, but it doesn't work like that in sport, and you know it, Sam. If you're the second fiddle and the first fiddle comes in, doesn't matter how good the second fiddle plays, first fiddle gets the, you know, he's the incumbent for a reason. How many good players have missed out behind Cameron Smith at 9 in the Storm?
Harry Grant.
Yeah. How many players... were behind Jonathan Thurston or Andrew Johns that had to go elsewhere. It's just the way it goes.
Jeff Robson.
However, we're not saying Matt Moylan is in that class.
It's good that we have this depth this year, and we've seen it in other years. One year in particular shines, which I'm not going to mention, but, you know, we've got Connor there that can do a job. We've got Trindle, who seemingly after one game can do a job. Mm. There is Moylan, there's Chad, there's Johnson. It's good. That's five halves.
That's five halves, yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, some teams don't have two.
No. All right, so let's wrap that up, and then when we come back on the other side... seriously, guys, thanks so much for all of your... You know, it's amazing.
The last, what, 5 or 6 weeks, lights out to our listeners for the content they're sending us. Yeah. Brilliant.
All right, thanks, guys, for tuning in and writing to us. We are nothing without you. We're going to cut to a break when we come back on the other side. We will have the... preview of the Parramatta game. The Royal Motor Yacht Club Port Hacking is a hidden gem of the Shire, situated on the banks of the beautiful Port Hacking, and is the best venue around for lunch, dinner, casual catch-up with friends, or function.
They always show NRL games live on the big screens, and Sunday arvos are superb with live acoustic music in the beer garden while the boats frame the backdrop. And you mean I love acoustic music, you know that?
Yachty's Bistro is open 7 days and nights, serving great food. And if you mention Sharkcast Radio, you get a free...
garlic bread, baby.
The RMYC Port Hacking, Woolaware Road, Woolaware. Or check out their Facebook feed to see what's on.
Twister. Green. Kicks across the park. Sailor's on his own.
Welcome back to the show. We didn't talk about this in news, Sam, but our party never happened.
That was a real bummer.
Yeah. COVID sucks, right?
Yeah. COVID ruins everything. Yeah. So thank you to people that did express interest in that. And we hopefully will do something in the future. But
now, I imagine everyone got their refund because no one sent me an email.
Hopefully. Yeah. If they didn't,
we're going to try later in the year. We will try again. And all we can do is... but what I can say is I went to the yacht club for breakfast on Saturday. Saturday was a beautiful day. And oh my God, I cannot recommend it highly enough. The food was incredible. But that view in the morning is unbelievable. Get down there and enjoy. And good, well priced.
Yeah.
Cafe prices for better than cafe type food.
Yeah, it's a beautiful... place once you find it, because it's Not that it's hard to find. It's just...
it's off the beaten path.
Yeah.
It isn't where you go looking for a venue. It's just a residential area.
Yeah.
All right. So, Sam, big game this weekend. We said in the review of the game that we're not going to, get too excited because we haven't been tested. Parramatta, one of the form teams in the comp. They've been winning more than they've been losing. They're hyped beyond hype. No one's ever going to believe the hype on Parramatta until they actually do something. But they're winning a lot of games this year. They've got a strong squad and they seem to be doing everything right. We play them Sunday. What time? 4 p.m. Channel 9 game. I'm going to look forward to that. Look forward to that.
You sent me a text, I think at full time, or at some point in the match, and you said, Fatty Fortin steal out go or something.
He did. So, clearly you don't watch Channel 9, but Fatty Fortin, being a Queenslander, was like behind, transparently.
He's a betting man too.
On the Broncos, right? And yeah, the Broncos are going to turn it around and this, that, and the other. And Herbie Farnworth, Payne Haas, who was playing well, right, in the first half, makes a break. And Fatty Vorton's like, go, Payne, go! Like, he's literally just cheering in the call. And I'm like, there are so many good callers. You know, I dabbled my toe in commentary. Yeah. And I know so many guys that are passionate about commentary that can't get a start. And this is what passes.
The reason I brought it up is because... being the person who loves the Sharks, podcasts, works in the industry, I actually recorded the Channel 9 game and the post coverage.
Right.
And I skim through it. Like, I don't sit there glued and I'm not that much of a fanatic. I watched some of Fatty in the post game. And our mate Gallen was on and Sturlo. A lot of good, like, I think Gallen does a great job, Sturlo's great. Lockie interviewing the players was terrible.
Yeah.
He's a board member and he's like, bad luck about the result.
Yeah, bad luck, yeah.
We're all in trouble now.
Nothing. Yep.
I think he said what did he say to Wade Graham? Great to win those games, isn't it? Or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, they wheel in Fatty, I think, in the second segment, and Aaron Molan makes this big thing about how Fatty's requested to be in the second segment, not anymore, because he wants to go back to the hotel. And so he appears and I haven't seen Fatty on TV for years. And, you know, I grew up watching him. And somewhere beneath me, there's a soft spot that doesn't dislike the man. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, there's something about him that's makes you feel comfortable.
It's nostalgia, right?
Yeah. And he was actually quite funny, but he... it was just like wheeling on someone's dad and, how good was the footy, eh?
Yeah. Oh, mate. But
the analysis wasn't
growing
there.
Growing up, though, like, my dad had a scything hatred of Fatty Fortin. Now, it stems from the fact that he had a very good government job and it was taken over by the Queensland government. And he lost his job, which was like his life's passion.
Sure.
And he blamed the state of Queensland for this happening. And Fatty was the face of the state of Queensland. And he could not stand Fatty Fortin. So growing up watching the football, he would mute the commentary, right? We weren't allowed to listen to the commentary. And only when somebody scored against Queensland or Manly or the Broncos would he turn it up so that he could hear what Fatty Fortin had to say.
I can see where
this is the household that I grew up in.
I can see where you and your brother kind of get...
Yeah, is it painting a picture? Yeah. So I grew up in this environment where, you know, Fatty Fortin was Satan and... The Schadenfreude, he only existed for Schadenfreude against him.
Yeah.
And Fatty Fortin had no say in my dad losing his job.
He's clearly not Satan.
At the lighthouses, but for some reason he was the man. So, but it was just so, like, the level of,
I was watching with my Fox hat on, and, you know, there's a lot of people who complain about certain people on Fox as well. But everything about that coverage was just like 1995.
Oh, absolutely.
From the way it looked to the way they presented it.
And I started getting really nervous because, like, Andrew Johns, who's just a hype merchant, he offers some great insight, but he just hypes players.
Yeah.
And he was hyping Hunt, Talakai, and Toby Rudolph, like, through the roof. And I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, it's like he watches one game and he's like, these guys are going to play Origin. And
he kept saying that Talakai was like Conrad Hurrell. He's like, oh, he's like Connie Hurrell, you know? you know, Conrad Hoddle had an error in him. Talakai's got an error in him. Like, no. He's way better than Conrad Hoddle.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to let you know that I did see some fatty magic. And he was actually entertaining, but I guess at
did
that point,
the head wobble?
He was doing all that stuff. Yeah, it was kind of funny.
Like, turn
him
it
and,
up.
Him and Sterlo were just like pretending it was 1995 in the footy show. So
how you think about the 90s and just how that was...
Sorry, what I was saying was I had my Fox hat on. And I was thinking, well, I don't really watch Channel 9 at all except for things like this where I'll catch up on the Sharks news or whatever. And I don't really miss it.
I just remember when... It was like a cultural touchstone. Like people used to quote The Simpsons. You know, if something went wrong, someone would go, "Duh!" You know, they're quoting The Simpsons. And they'd quote The Footy Show. Like they'd be like, yeah, yeah. That was in the common vernacular.
Huge, yeah.
And you're like, that show was legit 2 out of 10. It was embarrassing.
But it was
bad.
Probably what, first 5 years, 5 to 10 years maybe of it. Was like
it wasn't the first panel show ever. It wasn't the first variety show. It was the first show that had footballers on it, but it was
probably just the combination of people. I mean, I remember when Hadley was on, I think he was an original guy, and it must have been right around Super League time. And you can watch it on YouTube. It's amazing. And Rebo comes on.
Yeah, and Hadley just howls him.
He's like watching a murder. Stuff like that would have got everyone going.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not like today when you can listen to, like, the way we consume media now is so much more educated. And you can listen to the most, this is what I love about podcasts, the most niche podcasts that will give you like a forensic level of analysis on the most, you know, you can listen to now an hour a week of Sharks from us, and there's other people doing it as well.
Yeah.
Direct from the club, fan generated content. Where back then, the footy show was it. There was 5 minutes on the news at 6 o'clock. And then, there's an hour and a half about football? Come on.
Yeah, and that's great. It's a great thing. And they would have opened up a whole world for other people. So I'm not knocking it, but it's just...
And it did seem to push rugby league into the mainstream more because it had that variety element to it.
Yeah.
People who weren't that into football would also watch it for the... I don't know, the anti-ads?
Yeah. Well,
or maybe I'm just... Now I say that out loud, I'm like, did that really happen?
Yeah, that happened. And that was okay back then, you know, whereas now... I'll say this, I watch footy to learn about the game and I don't want to be entertained when I'm... Necessarily.
No, I'm not looking for entertainment.
Yeah, I want to talk about footy and hear about it. So, there's a team announced this week.
Wow, that got off track fast.
And it's a pretty interesting looking team. Will Kennedy at fullback.
Yep.
Katoa and Ronaldo are your wingers. Back in the centres, named Josh Dugan and Jesse Ramian.
Right.
Matt Moylan returns, as we've discussed, at number 6. Sean Johnson goes to 7. Hamlin Ueli, Aaron Woods, Blake Braley, your front row. Talakai starts. Wade Graham.
You will now refer to him from now on as the GOAT.
I don't know if I'll do that, but anyway, he's going
we
well.
We had to put up with that future rubbish with Valentine Holmes.
Was I wrong?
He's the past now, bud.
But was I wrong when I said it?
No, and thank I'm not you. Wrong about referring to Talakai as the GOAT.
I'm not saying
greatest
you're wrong.
Of all time.
I'm not saying you're wrong. You all said time. I have to refer to him, and I said I don't know if I will.
Yeah, okay.
Wade Graham, Toby Rudolph is playing lock.
Yep, good.
Connor Tracy's been named in 14, Jack Williams in 15. Teague Wilton in 16. He holds his spot. And a bit of a goat here as well, I think. Royce Hunt in 17.
Rolls Royce.
Extended bench, Scott Sorensen returns from injury. Britton Nakora has been named in 19. Braden Trindle in 20. Bryson Goodwin, 21. Now...
Hey, you want to know of a...
yes.
...boring Shark player sighting? I saw Bryson Goodwin at Sylvania Kmart on Sunday.
It's pretty boring.
That's really boring.
Did you say g'day? Or?
I did. Hang on, mate. He looked at me like, who are you?
Have you ever met him? I've never met him.
No.
No. Seems like a good lad. What shot out to me with this was number 19, Britton Nakora.
So, did Britton Nakora get the chop or is he injured?
Well, people are jumping to the chop presumption.
He wasn't as good as he was last year, let's be honest.
You and I have discussed, I believe, on air, definitely off air, about him maybe having a stint. I have been told by someone at the club this afternoon that he is injured. and I'm going to follow that up tomorrow. But
well, if he is injured, though, why are they wasting a spot on him?
I don't know, but that's what I've been told. So we'll follow that up. But at the moment, from what I've been told, he hasn't been dropped for any performance reasons.
Yeah.
And he's not going that bad. It's more the other guy's going really good.
Well, that's it.
Goat, as you
the
say.
The goat. That's right. You've got to play second fiddle. Like I said, Jonathan Thurston had a lot of guys come underneath him.
Teague Wilton holds his spot in 16. Wow.
Yeah. A lot of wraps around him. I'm liking it.
Just solid. Super solid. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't want to run into him. He just has that look about him. Yeah. Jack Williams holds his spot, and rightly so, based on last week. Connor Tracy in 14. We've got Trindle in 20. Moylan in 6. So it's going to be interesting to see if that
sticks.
Well,
I never thought the Trindle was going to stay in there.
Right.
You got to put Moylan back in.
Right.
It's just that's just the way it goes. Now, give me a read on Parramatta. I haven't watched a heap of their games.
They're pretty good.
They are currently sitting in third position with 10 wins, 3 ahead of us. And let's have a
look. So you know how we're scoring the most tries. We're not scoring the most points, but we're scoring the most tries in the game. Mm-hmm. I've left that one out before. Sharks scoring the most tries, second most points. The Eels are conceding the fewest points.
Wow, so they've got the
and
best
equals
defense.
Second fewest tries. So it's going to be a good test. And they're also busting the most tackles, and we're missing the most tackles.
So their form line goes, they just snuck home against the Dogs. They're
not alone there.
No, they, the Doggies, they did a number on the Tigers. They got rolled by the Sea Eagles, and they just snuck home against the Knights. So
huge forward pack.
Gritty team, and they got a bit of creativity at the back. We got a real test. It's very difficult to see what's going to happen. It's good that we've got some experience back because you can't rely on the kids in a game like this. Look, if it was Parramatta that got ahead by 10 with 10 minutes to go, I don't think we come back. So a good test. Let's see where we really are, Sam. I can't make a prediction at the moment, really.
They're having a very good year. They're having a special year. They're one of three, I guess, four teams that really can win the comp. They're not in any kind of other basket than they can actually win the comp. They're going that well. It's not a fluke. They've won a whole bunch of games. Guys like Regan Campbell-Gillard, who could barely make the Penrith team, are absolutely
killing it.
Hey? Yeah. Reid Mahoney's really good hooker. Gutherson at the back's very clever. I mean, Jennings is still killing it.
Is Reid Mahoney related to Reid Marnie? Or?
What did I say?
Reid Mahoney. Mary Constantopoulos is going to kill you.
Well, Mary and I are enemies this week, so.
Yeah, right.
Oh, you're working.
You know, the only reason I said that is because when I called the game, Parramatta game last year with her, I was referring to him as Reid Mahoney. She's like, "What are you doing?"
It's in the brain. I know it's not, but then I see the word,
and I'm like, "I watch."
How many times have I said the word Reid Mahoney?
Academy a lot when I was a kid.
That's a nice joke. I've said the word Reid Mahoney 3 times now in my life, so I apologize in front, especially Mary. Yeah, it's going to be a great test at Cogra. There's a very interesting stat here for you, Newman.
Are you going?
Yeah. At Cogra, the Sharkies barely win, as we know. But at Cogra, the Eels have an even worse record over, they've been in the comp for
but
a bit longer.
It doesn't count in these times.
I'm just letting you know, We've won 13 of 39 matches in our history at that stinky stadium.
Yep.
Although we love the stadium this year, of course, and next year. I shouldn't say love. We like it. We tolerate it.
We tolerate it.
The Eels have won 13 of 47 matches there. I'm just saying, it's not a happy hunting ground. Someone's going to probably win unless it's a draw. So
yep.
I'm just saying, like.
Look, I'm not going to look at the venue as a talisman. I am going to sit on the fence like you, and I'm going to say we're in for a real test. Hopefully the boys are up for it. And I am very glad that there's a bit of Ramian, Dugan, and Moylan are back. A little bit more experience on the paddock because it's going to be a lot more torrid than against the Broncos.
Yeah, and your man Talakai can do the job that he's supposed to do, and that's edge back row, I'd go nuts.
Yep.
In the centres, he's got a bit more to think about defensively, and that's not what his job is. So you're right. The two centres come in, we'll bolster them. Hopefully Dugan's ready to go. 200th game.
All right. Well.
It's been a good episode, Newman.
It's been a good episode.
You love any episode where people bag me out, don't you?
No. I took no joy in that. I hope you didn't see that I took any
kidding.
Joy in it.
Drew,
joy
I'm
in
kidding.
It. Just enjoying living in the Sutherland Shire, Sam. Great afternoon down the beach today. And then to come up to Diane Ellis Street, well, to come up to the daycare where there's a new park out the front and picking your kids up is impossible without spending another half an hour at the park. To see you and Chester there was just fantastic.
If you want to find Newman or myself, we're going to be in that park.
Yeah.
The next
any afternoon, just going 5 more minutes.
Yeah. It's a nice park.
It's good. I did a good job.
I better tell a couple of kids to calm the hell down. Older kids hanging out in the area.
Such a Clint Eastwood.
I had to talk to one really tall guy today as well. He was like drinking in the park.
Yeah, who was that?
Just a guy. Guy.
That's quite divisive.
Guy living his life.
I just had one can of beer, you know, while the kids played on the slide. What's wrong with it?
Nothing wrong with it. I like beer as much as any person, I assure you. You know why I was saying it?
To razz me.
Yeah, in front of your mate. That whole COVID conversation, he was like, "Where's your mask?"
Yeah.
I was like, "Whoa."
Like, he took that wrong, did he? He's a bit of a strange cat, that guy.
Seems nice.
I hope he doesn't listen.
He might. He had a shark's hat on.
Yeah. All right. Well, that wraps us up for another episode. Are you going? So you're going to the game. Who are you going with?
Probably the bro and the Neff, probably.
Mm, yeah, cool.
Are you in the corpse, are you?
And probably not. I would like to go with my daughter, but it looks like it's going to rain.
Oh.
And if it rains, I won't be going. Now, the other thing is...
Come sit in the upper with us.
The other thing is, Samuel, the other thing is I will not be around next week.
Is that right?
I am road tripping. The careers guy is going on the road.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, it's the middle of winter and I'm going to Jindabyne High School, Goulburn High School.
Right.
So I'm not going to be able to do a podcast next week.
Okay.
So you're going to be on your own.
Yeah. That's fine. We'll take care of that.
In these COVID times. And I'll be back for the following week.
COVID times, you're going away.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Man, what are we going to do? Live under our blanket for the rest of our lives. As you well know, I am over it.
Well, as you well know, you're going to have to tolerate it for a bit longer.
Yeah, unfortunately.
A way bit longer, unfortunately. We do hope that everyone's handling it pretty well, as you can.
And I'll tell you what, you wouldn't want to be in Victoria right now, would you?
We have some listeners in Victoria, so we send a shout out to everyone there. And actually,
well, if they're in lockdown, you know, that's when people consume this kind of media, so...
And there is one person I know who is listening, and he is on his way to Melbourne. No, on his way to the Sunshine Coast to join the Melbourne Storm. That's our friend Ricky Latelli. It's now official.
Oh, you got it! You got the green light. We should have talked about that in the news.
We're talking about it now.
BS, man! I was getting pumped
up for Ricky
to tackle Latelli.
He's back.
That's great.
He's going to.
Will he play first grade for him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe he'll walk straight in.
Yeah. It's a bit of a shame about the Wolfpack. That doesn't seem like it's going to...
It's a real shame. I imagine they're all going to get their money at some point, the players.
Mm.
They're still owed quite a bit. I know they're a bit out of form.
Yeah.
People talking Sonny Bill down. He's not going to be very good. Yeah, he'll be right.
Do you reckon Sonny Bill at any point went, well, maybe I could play for the Sharks?
No, there's only one team he's going to. It's a shame that... Ricky couldn't come back home, just for the romance of it all.
I know.
But
do you reckon he gets into our team, though?
Well, last week he would have.
Yeah, he would have last week, for sure.
Yeah, it's a different environment. And I mean, for all I know, maybe he wouldn't fit into the Morris kind of way of things, but it's...
Professional, won a comp with us.
I'm not knocking the guy. I love the guy personally and professionally, and he was very kind to you and I for a long time.
Yeah, he's a legend.
And he listened. So, yeah, good luck up on the Sunshine Coast, and... we'll be playing you, I think, at some point. We haven't played the Storms yet, have we?
No, Storms.
So, yeah.
All right. That wraps us up for another episode. And as we say every week, up the Sharks.
Yeah, Sharks.
Sharks forever, go out and play without fear. Now's the time to see good football, for the Sharks are here.
Sharks forever. Go out and play with a beam. Now's the time to see good football for the Sharks.